As you write your life story, you're far from finished. Are you looking to close the book on your job? Maybe turn a page in your career? Be continued at the Georgetown University School of Continuing Studies. Our professional master's degrees and certificates are designed to meet you where you are and take you where you want to go. At Georgetown SCS, the learning never stops, and neither do you. Write your next chapter. Be continued at scs.georgetown.edu/podcast.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hey, it's Wendy.
And it's Jess. And you're listening to the Food Heaven Podcast,
your online resource for delicious and nutritious living. Everyone, welcome to another episode of the Food Heaven Podcast. Today we have a very special guest with us. We have Dr. Christian Henderson, who's a professor of public health, a natural lifestyle enthusiast, and the founder of Black and Green, an all-natural marketplace by all Black artisans. Through her company, products are curated and sold in categories like skincare, home, and bath and body to meet the needs of wellness seekers who want to buy Black and live green. Today we're going to be talking with Christian about the story behind Black and Green, non-toxic beauty products, Black wealth, entrepreneurship, and more. Welcome to the podcast, Christian.
Thank you for having me.
Yay. So let's just jump right in. We know that you are a professor of public health, which I think is really cool and interesting. But I also want to know more about how you got interested in this field of Black and green, like beauty products, makeup products. Let us know, like, yeah, how you ended up there from your initial start as a professor.
I mean, that's a really good question because I never intended to be in the quote unquote beauty space, and I never really saw myself as a beauty person. It really was coming more from like a health and wellness background. So my background is in public health, and I've always been really interested in health disparities, particularly the health disparities among African-American women. And there is an emerging body of research around the connection between the toxins in our personal care products and certain outcomes, whether it's fibroids or whether it's cancer or whether it's onset early. I always forget this word. I don't
Alzheimer's?
Know. This is like the second time I've done this.
Is it Alzheimer's?
When you're a little kid and you're turning into an older woman, you go through puberty.
Early onset puberty.
Onset early puberty. Yeah. So whether it's one of those different things that are kind of impacted by the products that we're using. And I wanted to come up with the entrepreneurial solution to kind of help solve that problem and really connect women with all natural products that were better for them. And at the same time, provide a platform for indie Black women brands that were having a hard time getting retail to kind of sell their products. So I was really kind of fascinated with the number of natural green organic products that were existed, but that just no one knew about and they couldn't find them. And so that's where the idea of the marketplace came.
Yeah, we've actually tried your products from Black and Green. I remember when you all were first launching and you sent us like these little sample boxes.
Oh,
and
that's
the products,
right.
the products were so great. Like, oh my God, I remember like the shea butter. And yeah, it just felt really good like supporting Black creatives and
small business,
Black entrepreneurs that were, just making really great products. So tell us more about Black and Green, like the company. We know a little bit about why you started it, but tell us more about the entrepreneurs that you're featuring and all of the great things that you're all doing with the company.
Yeah, so absolutely. So it was, the amazing thing about Black and Green is when I first had the idea, the original thought was like, okay, I'll just do a directory and I'll just like have a directory of all these different products. And what I figured out is there's tons of websites that try to do this directory, but it doesn't really solve the core issue, which is that people don't want to compromise. Like people want high quality products and they're interested in natural products, but they don't want to compromise anything. They want the products to be just as effective. They want the packaging to be just as beautiful. They want it to be just as easy to purchase and consume, or they don't want to compromise the customer service experience. They don't want to compromise. And so I realized that by listing all of these, hundreds of businesses on a website, it's it's still difficult to navigate because you have to keep going to different websites and you're paying for shipping 10 or 15 different times, depending on how many different products that you want. And they're all being shipped differently. And so we kind of pivoted really quickly to actually create a marketplace where we hold all the inventory in-house. And so when you place an order, we ship it out directly to the customer. It's not drop shipped. And so I think that that's like a really important distinction between some other marketplaces. And we really pride ourselves on providing really good customer service and centering the women who shop on our platform, because we know that there's easier ways to shop. And we know that the women who are shopping with us, they're doing so because they're trying to shop with their ethics and they're trying to shop with their morals and they're trying to align their purchasing behavior with the things that they say that they care about. And so we want them to feel good and feel supported as they make that decision.
That's a really good segue into my next question, which is, there is this misconception that Black people aren't interested in sustainability, even ethical fashion, or in your case, non-toxic beauty products, which I don't think that misconception is fact. And obviously your company is proof of that. And in what ways do you make Black and Green more accessible to Black women?
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. Like, it's just not true. I think that it's like, I think that's why the "and" is such an important part of our name. We're Black and we're Green. You know, it's like we buy Black and we live green. Is that it's the beauty of being a Black woman is that you don't only have to be one thing, is that you can be multifaceted, that you can be a tree hugger or just be, you can care about sustainability and still be a Black woman. So I think that that's just kind of a misnomer, that this thinking that Black women don't care about, or Black people in general don't care about sustainability or the environment, and kind of understanding the value of Mother Earth and understanding why it's important to treat Mother Earth well. And I think you're right. I think with Black and Green, we are showing that there were a lot of women that kind of crossed both of those bubbles, and they were looking for a place to be seen and to be heard, and that kind of saw them. And so we, you know, we ship and recycle boxes, and we don't use any plastics when we're shipping things. We don't print, you know, oftentimes when you order from a retailer, they'll put a packing slip inside of your box, which 9 times out of 10, you just throw away. So we don't print the packing slip, because what purpose is that really serving? And so we try to minimize waste as much as possible. We ship everything in one box, which is another way to minimize waste. People ask us often, is something packaged in glass versus plastic? Because glass is better for the environment and oftentimes better for the product. And so we know that people care about sustainability. I recently have been speaking with more Black women who are environmental scientists, and that's been really refreshing to even see it on the science side, this growing body of professionals and professors who are doing research to kind of to really show our interest. Because a lot of times I think the reason why people think that people of color aren't interested in the environment or aren't interested in environmental sciences is oftentimes they aren't looking at the issues that we care about the most.
Yeah, it sounds like you have so many amazing things in place that really speak to the mission that your company has. And it's not just, I mean, yes, there's a need and we want to provide like really great products for Black women, but it's beyond that. And you just have all of these different initiatives in place that really speaks to the mission of your business. And so I wanted you to get a little bit into that vision, because yeah, with like, there's a lot of companies that have great products and that I really believe in and that are Black companies, but I feel like, I mean, it's just very clear that they're trying to make money, which is fine. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But I think the reason why your company is so special is because you are a mission-driven business. And so can you speak a little bit about that, and why you were motivated to create a mission-driven business in the first place?
Yeah, so I worked at a hospital for about 7 years before I transitioned into being a professor. And I think one of the things I learned was this idea of being a mission-driven business and how to balance the need for margin and the need for mission. And so I think that that experience was really good because it helped me build a mission-driven business. I personally just can't do things that I don't care about. Like, ever since I was a little girl, I just had a really hard time doing things mediocre or doing things that don't interest me. I'm one of those people either I'm like 125% in or I'm like all the way out. I can't do it halfway. And so because of my nature, I always knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur, but I never could figure out what the right thing for me was. It was because it had to be something I just cared about. I couldn't just do the thing to make money, because to be 100% honest, this does not make money. And so if I was just chasing the check, this retail is not the place you go if you're trying to be make money fast. Like, it's very capital intensive. You have to buy a lot of inventory. There's a lot of costs with customer service. There's a lot of touch points. You have to do a lot of work of marketing and branding yourself. It's a lot of work to maintain a retail space. So this is definitely a labor of love. And, you know, I'll be honest, like, there was a time where I wanted to quit, because initially to start Black and Green, I cashed out my pension plan from the hospital and I maxed out all my personal credit cards and I bought inventory and I bought, you know, PR and I built my website. I did all the things that I needed to do to get up off the ground, and I had spent so much money, and I kind of felt at times like, man, did I make a big mistake? Should I have done something different? What if people don't really want this? Now I've invested so much money in it and my credit score is plummeting because I'm using 100% of my credit score. And the only thing that kept me going was the mission.
Yeah, I feel you. I think a lot of times people look at entrepreneurs and think that it's easy or that, you know, they just got there overnight. Yeah. But it's so humbling to hear your experience and the fact that, yeah, if it is about the money, like, people are probably not going to be doing it for that long, especially in the beginning. Because I know with Food Heaven, we absolutely were not profitable probably until the last like 3 years. Yeah, I mean, we were actually negative in 2015. And then after it became profitable, and that was after like 5 years of doing this. So I appreciate you sharing that. Just going a little deeper, can you talk about what are some of the challenges you have experienced directly tied to being a Black woman entrepreneur?
Well, yes, I'm actually experiencing a huge challenge right now. Black Opal, which is a color cosmetic company owned by Nana, is currently fighting our trademark. And all the legal that I've talked to says that we have a really strong claim, but it can oftentimes be a practice of larger companies that have more money and more capital to try to kind of muscle small businesses out of their branding, which could potentially push us out of business. And so I'm currently trying to fight that. And the thing that's been probably the most heartening with the Black Opal case is that they portray themselves as being a Black-owned business. They even use the hashtag Black-owned business on a lot of their posts on Instagram, but they actually aren't a Black-owned business. And all of their customers are really, it's geared towards Black women.
That happens That's with a issue. Lot of companies. I've started to notice that a lot of these, especially with like natural hair, they like promote all of these curly hair products. And then lo and behold, a lot of the smaller companies too that you would think are like mom and pop shops, and they're actually owned by white men.
Yeah, it's been really disheartening. And, you know, like, me, people have been asking me, oh, so do you think that, you know, major corporations can't build products, you know, for Black women? Isn't that what we've been saying we wanted, that we want representation? I was like, no, I'm not saying that at all. Like, Black women are a large market and a large demographic. It absolutely makes logical sense for them to want to make products that are geared towards them, but they should be honest about their ownership, because what we see is that there's a rise of Black women or Black people wanting to support specifically Black-owned brands, because we understand the value in supporting Black-owned brands. We understand that by investing in a Black-owned brand, you're investing in the Black community. You're helping create jobs. You're helping create sustainability. Like, it's all around good for, it's good economics. It makes logical sense for people of a minority community that's struggling to invest financially back into that community. Like, it's like a no-brainer. So if people are trying to make that choice and they're buying brands thinking it's consistent with that choice and they find out that it's not, I think that dishonesty is a bit of a problem.
Oh my God. Well, I hope that you all are able to push through this. And for everyone listening, y'all need to support Black and Green right now. want to take a second to talk about my latest obsession, which is FabFitFun, a women's lifestyle subscription box filled with full-size premium beauty, lifestyle, fitness, home, and wellness products that are sent straight to your doorstep each season. They take the hassle out of shopping by doing it all for you. Each box is customized with your specific interests in mind. Not only do you get over $200 in product, but many of the products cost more than you would pay for the entire box. The box is filled to the brim with full-size beauty, wellness, fashion, fitness, and tech products. It honestly feels like it's your birthday four times a year, and it makes gift-giving so much easier. It also saves you a lot of time and money. What I love is that the boxes are totally customizable, so you can customize most of the products in your box and choose products that match your lifestyle. I recently got a box in the mail, and honestly, it felt like it was my birthday. It felt like it was Christmas because there were so many goodies in there. Some of my favorites were the Wander Beauty Baggage Claim Gold Eye Mask, which I travel a lot, so that's going to come in really handy. They also sent me this travel yoga mat that folds up perfectly and doesn't take up a lot of space. Really excited about that as well. And in addition to a whole bunch of other amazing products, they sent this Human and Kind body souffle that smells divine. These boxes sell out fast, so make sure that you sign up for yours today. You know we're gonna hook you up with our special code for those of you that are interested in checking out the box. It retails for $49.99, but like I mentioned, it has a value of well over $200. You can use our coupon code FOODHEAVEN for $10 off your first box at fabfitfun.com. Again, that's fabfitfun.com. You can use the coupon code FOODHEAVEN, and we're going to make sure that we include all of this information in the show notes. All right, let's get back to our episode. Aside from obviously supporting the great business that you've built and buying products that are Black owned, what are some things that we can do for listeners that are like, okay, how can we keep the money in the community? How can we build generational wealth? What are things that people can do in their day to day?
Oh, I mean, I think that's a really good question. The answer is it's hard. Like, if it were really easy to keep the money in the community, everyone would do it. It's really, really difficult because you have to break habits. And oftentimes, to keep money in the community is not the easiest choice. Like, for instance, I'm getting ready to move, and I would need to find movers for my home. My natural way of doing movers in the past would have just, like, to hop on U-Haul and find movers, or to just Google moving company in Washington, D.C. and see who comes up, and whoever has the most stars, I book them and then I'm done. But when I made the intentional choice to try and support Black-owned business, trying to find a mover took me like an hour and a half because I'm looking on websites, I'm going to their About Us page, I'm trying to read and see if they said their name. And oftentimes, Black-owned businesses are nervous to say they're Black-owned because there could be a potential outlash of people not wanting to support them. So it takes work, I think, to try to support Black-owned business. And I don't want to pretend that it doesn't, like it's an easy thing to do. What I just ask people to do is commit to slowly making changes and becoming more conscientious. I always say, what do you value? Write down the things that you value and slowly try to make sure that your purchasing behavior aligns with your values. I think that is more of a signifier of what you believe in sometimes than your actual physical vote, because you get to say, I believe what this company does, I'm giving them a dollar and buying this product, or I don't believe in what this company does, so I'm not going to buy their product. You get to vote every single day, every single purchasing habit, every meal you eat, everything you buy. There's always an alternative if it's not from a Black-owned brand, from an indie brand, from a local brand, from a small brand. We have to make sure that we maintain the ability for small businesses to thrive.
This reminds me of a Netflix show. It's called Trigger Warning. And he had an episode. What's the name of the host? Do you remember? Of Trigger Warning?
I don't think
tell
me I about was.
It.
Killer Mike.
Killer
oh,
Mike.
Oh, yes.
Killer Mike.
Yes.
Oh, my God. First of all, that show.
The show is hilarious.
Hilarious. I mean, that is good TV right there.
So he has an episode about We Buy Black where he tries to go, I don't know if it's a week or, yeah, with just buying Black. It's just really funny because he's like really struggling. He couldn't.
He's like sleeping on a bench.
Yeah, he's sleeping on a bench. He had to like he had a show somewhere. So then he had to like get on a bus and he had to like do all this research to find like a black owned bus company because he couldn't fly. And then with the food, he was like eating.
Did you watch it, Christian?
I did.
Oh, you did?
Because let me tell you, do you remember Mario? He was my favorite character in the whole show.
Wait, what happened? I can't remember. Mario was the Puerto Rican guy.
Oh, my God. Yeah, he was. You guys have to watch it if you haven't seen it.
He was like the gay Puerto Rican guy that was just like going against everything.
You'll watch it in like a day or, yeah, in one sitting. But anyway, that just reminds me of that show because I think it's a refresher that we do have to be more intentional. And it also checks myself that I need to be more intentional about making an effort, even if it's not black owned, if you can't find that, just supporting small business in general is really important, especially us as business owners. And, you know, sometimes people don't really get it. It's like, if you want to see this content and you want us to be able to do this work, then you have to support in some kind of way.
Yeah. There's also this like misconception that entrepreneurs are rolling in dough.
Exactly.
And, you know, I'm sure like they're like, oh my God, black and green. It's like, it has beautiful branding, beautiful website. Like, you know, Christian is just like out here doing it. And I think it's great that you're really speaking to the struggles because we really do need to support and we really do need to buy these things and like spend the money and invest in our community.
Exactly.
It's really important.
Like, we have even heard from like a segment of customers who just come on our website, look products up, and then go buy them on Amazon.
Oh my
like,
God.
And I get it, like the reason they do it is because they get free shipping on Amazon. And it'll probably get there super fast. But it's like, it's so hard for us to compete with that. And we try. We try our hardest. We ship probably 90% of our products the same day that the order comes in to try to compete with Amazon as much as we can. But Amazon is literally pushing big business, like small businesses out. And I had to check myself because I was still shopping on Amazon. And I was like, okay, Kristen, if you want your customers to make the choice of shopping with you instead of Amazon, then like you have to make the choice to stop shopping with Amazon yourself. And it's hard.
It's so convenient. Prime, like, I need something, one click. It's literally hard.
So can you, let's talk about that. Because I feel like even within my friend circles, it's this conversation of like, it's almost like a drug. Like, how do you get off of Amazon? Like, what is your experience in terms of, do you just like, maybe not cold turkey, maybe you go down to like only one thing a week? Because now I'm at like several things a week and I don't know another way anymore.
So what I did, I canceled my Prime.
Oh.
So like that was a big one because now the incentive to shop there decreased. And then anytime, and I still go on, I'm not going to pretend like I don't go on Amazon's website. Anytime I go on Amazon's website to start looking for something sometimes naturally, I will get off of their website and go see if I can find it somewhere else. So, okay, is there a small business that sells this locally where I can buy this thing from? And is there a place I can buy it used? That's a new thing I've been kind of playing around with the last 6 months. It's like, it's a lot more sustainable to buy something that was previously owned versus keep buying something new. And so, like I mentioned earlier, I'm moving and I'm trying to furnish the majority of my house with reused furniture as much as possible. And it's like the house is going to be beautiful because like there's really good stuff that people get rid of. That I bought something from, I didn't buy it from Restoration Hardware, but I bought it from a black man who bought it from Restoration Hardware. And it's like, you know, 75% off. I never would have been able to afford it on my own, but I can afford it because I bought it used, right?
What was it?
It's like this. Yeah, I use all the apps to try to find things. So that's one thing I've tried to do is try to find something used first, try to see if there's another business that sells it. And then if not, then if I still buy it from Amazon, I feel better that at least I tried.
What was the thing that you got from the guy?
Oh, a dresser.
Ooh. Yeah, I love their stuff.
Yeah, my husband's tall and he always complains about dressers being low. So he's like, I want a dresser that's like higher but still wide, and so like kind of as high as a high dresser but as wide as a wide dresser. And so it was really hard finding that, and we were not paying the Restoration Hardware price.
Nice. Yeah, I love getting stuff offline for less, or not offline, but just from somebody. Like, I use the Neighbor Next Door app a lot. I don't know if you guys have heard of that, but it's basically, if you live in a neighborhood, you have to get like verified and there's all your neighbors. You can see them on the app. And I have sold stuff on there. I've given stuff away for free. I've got a ton of cool stuff, or even like house decor stuff, like vintage lamps and things. So that's one other one that's cool. Wendy uses Facebook Marketplace a lot.
Oh, yeah. I love Facebook Marketplace. I like sell everything.
I'm using Facebook Marketplace now to sell our old stuff as I buy new stuff. And it was really weird because someone who knew about Black and Green like figured out I was selling something, like, oh my gosh, you're selling this, you're with Black and Green. I was like, oh, this is really awesome.
Yeah,
it's like, yes girl, I'm still not going down $100.
Exactly right. So going back to skincare, can you talk about what are some practical tips for women who want to introduce safer products into their skin and beauty routine, or just like more natural products?
Yes. So the practical way that I like to address it is start by changing the products that you're least attached to. So if you swear by your cleanser, let's not start by trying to change your cleanser. But if you're iffy on your moisturizer, let's start with your moisturizer. Let's start with the areas where you are already feeling not totally satisfied. And then if you get a win, if you find a natural product that you love and you feel like it works and it's having the outcome that you want, you're much more likely to try another product, and you're more likely to try another product. And so I say start one product at a time, particularly if you have a concern about, is this going to be as effective as the thing that I'm already using? If you don't care about that, if that's not a big concern to you, then like, I know some people who have just gone cold turkey. They like kind of like the first time I went, I did clean eating. I just went through my refrigerator. I threw everything away. I bought all new things. I just did it like all at one time. And so I know some people who have done it that way. And there's a debate about whether you should donate all of your kind of toxic products, or if you don't want to spread that toxicity. So I'll let you fall on whatever side of that you fall, if you feel like it's worth donating it, or if you feel like it's better to throw it away to remove it. I hate waste, so I opted to donate my stuff because I don't like throwing things away. And I kind of went cold turkey, where I just replaced everything, all of my skincare products, my deodorant, my cleaning products, everything.
And tell us about your skin and beauty regimen, because I'm wondering, like, you have access to all these products. Is it like you have 200 products like in your medicine cabinet, or do you have like a select few that you use that work really well?
So when I first started, I had my routine down pat, and I was like, well, I'm not looking for a new routine. I'll let my esthetician test the products. I'm already kind of loyal. And then she kept saying, oh, this one's really good. Oh, this one's really good. Christine, you have to try it. You have to try it. So now I'm like a product junkie, and I never have been like that. I'm kind of like, find something that works and stick with it. But now I'm a product junkie, and I try all the products to make sure, one, that I love them. So I've tried every single thing on the platform. And I interchange things often, which I think speaks to the power of the products, because with traditional products, if you start interchanging things, your face will go crazy. But with these products, I found that I can like use one moisturizer one day and one conditioner the other day. And because I have so many, I've learned like what I like very specific. Like, okay, I like this one before I go to bed because it's not too oily. I like this one in the winter. I like this one in the fall. I like this one when I'm on my period. Like, I'm able to be really specific just because I have them all at my fingertips.
Great advice. Now, tell us a little bit more about what wellness and balance looks like for you.
I'm learning all over again. I mean, I just think it shows that this stuff is a journey. I think when I first started into the wellness world, I thought there was like this, you know, enlightened person that you just have to unlock, and then you're like there, like there's some destination. But I'm learning now, just recently becoming a mother, that there is no destination. It's like this constant process of evolving, this constant process of learning and unlearning. It's work, and it's work that never ends. And so now, being a mom, my body has changed drastically. So I'm kind of going through this kind of acceptance of my mommy body. Like, I think my thought at first was, I know how to eat healthy and I know about movement, and so I will be like very intentional to get back to my pre-mommy body. And I've had to kind of be realistic that I will never have that body again. And so it's sort of like mourning the loss of this, of what was, and then also kind of like learning to love what is now. So that's a journey that I'm on. My safe place, meditation place, has always been yoga. There was like a time in my life where I was at the yoga studio like 4 days a week. Well, with the little one, I haven't been able to do that. If I go once a week, that is an accomplishment. And so trying to reestablish, okay, simply because you can't leave the home doesn't mean that you can't find this time. So you have to figure out how to find that hour in the day while you're at home and still get that same benefit. And so I'm working on trying to establish a home yoga practice, which I honestly have never really liked very much, but maybe there's some reason why I don't like it. And you like figure that out. So I'm trying to reestablish that. And balance is new too. Running a business, being a professor, being a wife, being a mom, like there's always something to do. And I like to cross things off my to-do list. I like to be really efficient. I like to get things done. And so I'm trying to teach myself how to do a better job of just being still and being okay, being still. It's okay if you aren't responding to that email. It's okay if someone sent you a DM that you aren't responding to. You know, like I'm trying to give myself more space not to do all the things all the time.
Yeah, we actually have an episode. We're interviewing someone today, actually, about making peace with body changes after birth, because that's something that a lot of our listeners hit us up about. And they're like, oh, my God, you know, I want to try to get back to the body that I had before I gave birth. And so we have someone who's really going to touch on that, because I think it's a really great topic and something that so many women experience. So thank you for sharing that. Yeah, this has been so great. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today. Tell our listeners where they can find out more about you and Black and Green.
Yes, so we would love for you guys to come on Black and Green. Shop with your values. You can buy Black and live green without compromise. We're at www.blkgrn.com. We're on every single social platform there is at BLK and GRN. So you can find us there. We'd love to talk with you guys on whether it's Twitter or whether it's Instagram or Facebook. Come and be a part of our community. And we have a special discount code that is BLKGRN food. Is that right?
BLK food, I think is what she said.
BLK food. Okay. BLK food is the special discount code. So make sure you go on your first purchase. You can get a nice little discount, and we'd love for you to be a part of our family.
Oh, thank you so much for offering that discount. You guys better go cash in, get all your products, put your money where your mouth is. And thanks to you, Christian, for coming on our podcast. This was a great conversation, and I definitely learned a lot.
No problem. Thank you for having me. I love podcasts.
So me too. All right. Bye, Christian.
Bye, Christian.
All right. Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Food Heaven Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please do us a huge favor and leave us a review on iTunes. I feel like a broken record at this point, but you know who you are. If you haven't left a review, you need to go do it. The more reviews we get, the higher we're ranked in iTunes, and that helps this episode get out to more people. Listen up to this listener review by Liz from Virginia or VA. I'm assuming that's Virginia. I'm a registered dietitian, and I'm always searching for resources that help me discover more balanced, diverse ways to feel good and live a happy life. I also love to share them with my clients and loved ones. This podcast is definitely one of my go-tos. It's fresh, fun, and so relatable, but I also learn so much and always discover new resources. These ladies are so inspiring. Thanks for what you do, and keep the episodes coming.
Thank you, Liz. And again, go right now to leave a review. It takes 2 seconds. Make sure to also connect with us online. We are most active on Instagram, and we are at Food Heaven. And remember that our podcast is released every Wednesday. In each episode, we cover tips and tricks for how to make lifelong changes to help you live a healthier, more balanced life. We also interview leading experts in the field of health and nutrition to pick their brains on how to cultivate a healthy life that you love. We hope you enjoyed this episode and we'll catch you next time. Bye.
Bye.